two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Saturday is proudly brought to you by SRE.com. This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Hour number three is underway of Cougar Sports Saturday, and KSL News time is 2.06 p.m. We're counting down to BYU versus USC here in Los Angeles. I'll have you covered on KSLSports.com with coverage from the Coliseum. Matt Biamonte and Dan Graff, they'll be at the Huntsman Center for BYU-Utah basketball. So it's a loaded day of BYU sports content. And that football game, though, is going to be a big one. Regardless of USC being down and out at 4-6, the Trojans carry a massive brand name that BYU wants to take down. Again, they did it 2 years ago. They're looking to do it tonight once again in 2021. And to get an insider look on the Trojans, joined now by USCFootball.com publisher Ryan Hay Abraham, a good friend of mine who's been covering the Trojans for the last 25 years. And Ryan, thanks for joining us. And how motivated is USC for these final two games of the season?
Hey, Mitch. Yeah, I wouldn't say highly motivated. I mean, I think when you talk to the players and coaches, they seem to be saying the right thing, but there was obviously a lot of frustration giving up 62 points to your rival UCLA in the Coliseum. The crazy thing this year, I went back and looked in history. So they've played five home conference games in the Coliseum, giving up 225 points, only scoring 155. I mean, there's a 70-point differential at home in conference play. And we know BYU's dominated the Pac-12 so far. I don't know what it is, but they just do not seem to get up for these home games. And right now, I mean, it's just tough. When you ask Dante Williams, the interim head coach, to go a 10-game stretch, and he wanted to get 11, as the interim head coach, that's just a long time. So it's been a lot of failures with this USC football team, and they seem to be really limping to the finish. So probably a pretty good time for BYU to come into the Coliseum, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think of all these, when you mentioned the home games that USC has had, it's kind of been historical moments for the opposition. You know, Utah's first win since, 1919, and Oregon State first time in about 60 years. It's just something like maybe the frustration from the fan base is leaked over to the team where they just don't feel the support. What is it you think?
Yeah, and Stanford was a 17-point underdog and scored in the 40s. Arizona hadn't scored in the 30s all year except in the Coliseum, like still to this day. So yeah, it's hard to say, but they had some good environments, especially early. That Stanford game was pretty electric for the second game of the season. The student section was getting into it. It just seems like this team is not able to handle much adversity. And just, you know, it's one of those, it's like a boxing thing where you get, you can't take a punch. And as soon as someone punches back, USC seems to fold. And you would think that they would get up for these home games. They've been a little bit more focused on the road, but to me more, it's just about, you know, they're not a buttoned up organization that's, you know, trying to get an interim head coach to come in and fix the culture that Clay Helton kind of eroded around USC for the last 7 years. It just wasn't going to be an easy task. They just need a new head coach to come in and fix things. But you feel bad for the players because there's a lot of talented guys out there and they're just not being directed very well.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with you there. Just following USC from afar, it just seems like the admins have definitely let down the players and student athletes over this time. And you mentioned a lot of talent on the roster. I kind of wonder, I mean, I always feel like the top 22 at USC should be among the best in college football. I mean, how far away talent-wise is USC from, I don't should say nationally, but at least being in the top tier of the Pac-12 again? Because I still feel like this roster from a talent perspective, it should be, I don't think they're realizing their full potential, a lot of the heralded 4- and 5-star guys on the roster.
Yeah, I think they're close. The problem is, like, if you looked at the 24/7 Sports talent composite, so it's the guys that are still on the team, they use their recruiting rankings, they're still a number, I think they're number 10 in the country right now. I don't think they have top 10 talent. The problem has been really development. They just haven't developed these guys. You see programs, you know, like Utah, Oregon State, that don't get that kind of level of athlete, but they've developed them into what they want to see in the program. This has just not been a coaching staff that has developed these guys. We've seen people regress, like Keaton Slovis, the quarterback. It's been a lot of that. So I think the talent, like as far as like the base of talent is there, but they just haven't been developed over time. And then you get, you know, juniors and seniors that just aren't anywhere. They're any better than when they were as freshmen. And if you're playing a good team like a BYU, they bring in guys that might not be as talented when they're out of high school, but by the time they're a third year in the program, they look like a different player. That's just not been the case for USC.
Talking with USCFootball.com publisher Ryan Abraham. He's been covering the Trojans, I think, what now, since 1996, I think, 25 years? Is that
yeah.
right?
That's a long time. Wow.
That's impressive stuff. And so he knows the Trojans as well as anyone. The quarterback for USC, Jackson Dart, we know him quite well out here in Utah. He was a star at Corner Canyon. I know BYU was his first FBS offer when he was coming up as a kind of an unknown ahead before his senior year in high school. Is Jackson Dart going to be the next big thing at quarterback in the future, you think, for USC?
I think USC is hoping that. They were just trying to find some sort of positivity, and you just watched like their social media feed when they announced Jackson Dart was going to start, and they're all over it. They had photographers around them. They're trying to make something special happen, and you know, Jackson Dart looked really special when he came into the game against Washington State, and that was Dante Williams' first game after Clay Helton was fired. Keaton Slovis gets hurt, and they, you know, it's a great comeback, and they get a big win. That's the best win of the season. But, you know, he split time in a couple of games. He got the start against UCLA. He's looked fine. You know, he's looked pretty good. And I think a lot of the fan base wanted Jackson Dart to be a magic pill that, oh, the offense stinks, but it's because of Keaton Slovis. Well, Keaton Slovis was really good in 2019. To me, it's more about the offense and the way that has regressed, and they just haven't got much better. Keaton Slovis, Jackson Dart, I think whoever is going to be calling, you know, taking the snaps there, they were going to have some problems because you don't have the kind of receiver talent they might have had a couple of years ago. Drake London not being there is a big deal. And just scheme-wise, it's not something that schemes guys open all that well. So I think in a good offensive system, the future is going to be really bright for Jackson Dart, but I'm just not expecting that much from the last couple of games, because it's more been a systematic problem with the offense as opposed to this player wasn't as good as that player kind of thing.
When you talk about the future, Ryan, everyone nationally is wondering about the USC coaching search. And I know there's been national talking heads like Bruce Feldman who have mentioned a Kalani Sitake, who, you know, head coach at BYU. Is Kalani a legit candidate potentially for USC? What's the sense you get about a potential Kalani Sitake candidacy in the USC coaching big board?
Yeah, no, his name has come up from people like Bruce Feldman. They've talked about him, obviously, because he's done such a great job at BYU, compliment to him. USC's been really quiet about this, which is weird, because normally they've had, you know, football player athletic directors didn't know what they were doing. Mike Bone and his chief of staff, Brandon Sofna, the athletic director, They have been really tight-lipped about this entire process. When Clay Helton got fired, no one knew about it. They announced it on social media, which is really hard to do. So they've kept this really close to the vest. I think a name like him, he would be someone that you would want to consider. The problem is USC's had so many bad hires. They kind of have to get somebody that's going to make the fan base get excited because they need to sell tickets. People have just been canceling their season tickets, saying, I'm not going to go back to football games. They know, and they were really unhappy with Mike Bone that he didn't fire Clay Helton 2 years ago. So there's a lot of pressure on this hire. I think they would have to get, you know, a bigger name if at all possible. But certainly he's got a great resume and has shown that, you know, he can play and run the football and play with toughness and play good defense. A lot of USC fans want to get back to that, especially when they went to this more of an air raid thing. They like to see what guys like Kalani Sitake are doing. But I don't know. I think it would be kind of a long shot, but I you know, they haven't said anything, so I wouldn't rule anything out.
Yeah, no, I that's what I've always kind of felt just from afar here, because it just seems like USC's got to get that bigger name, and I'm so glad you bring up the air raid thing. It's been so strange as someone who's just always enjoyed watching USC football over the years from afar. It's like USC running the air raid, this just doesn't make sense. They got to have great running backs at USC. And I do think, though, what's interesting, I remember when Mike Bone did say back in September when he spoke to you guys in the media, how he talked about the whole student-athlete experience, something along those lines, I'm paraphrasing. It seemed like, you know, Kalani would be a good fit there because he's done a nice job with NIL and things like that. But, yeah, I struggle to wrap my mind around Kalani's name being the one that really wins over everyone in LA to boost ticket sales and things like that.
Yeah, even just like James Franklin, who's been the head coach at Penn State, fans really don't like him for some reason. And maybe it's because he lost head-to-head to Clay Helton. So maybe the fact that, you know, Kalani beat, you know, Clay Helton heads up a couple years ago, maybe that's it. I'm not sure. But yeah, it's weird. The fan base can be really fickle. No matter who gets hired, I think there's going to be some complaints. But they just needed someone that somewhat, they needed to hire someone that other programs would want. They've got kept hiring people. No one was going to hire Clay when they hired him and then extended him. And so they need to go out there and get someone like, oh, Dave Aranda, a lot of people want to hire him. Kalani Sitake, if people want to hire him. They just haven't done that in the past. So if they get someone like that, I think the fans should be a little happier than definitely what they've done before.
You can follow him on Twitter at Inside Troy. He's the publisher and owner of USCFootball.com, part of the 24/7 Sports Network. Ryan, I can only imagine what's life been like with a 2-3 month coaching search. So hopefully you can get some much needed break and rest here soon after the season, and appreciate you spending some time with me.
My pleasure, Mitch. Enjoy the game.
It's Ryan Abraham here on KSL News Radio. A great insight look into the USC Trojans. We got to take a break. On the other side, we'll talk more BYU and USC here on Cougar Sports Saturday from LA on KSL News Radio.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.